Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. Well, I have three sons at home, and when my middle son turned 5, he went through a growth spurt. And he didn't quite realize he was growing. We, as his parents, saw it, as his clothes weren't fitting him as much anymore, or even just looking over old photos from a year earlier, it was amazing how little he seemed to how he was now. Well, I'll never forget one morning, he said something that was so innocent and so cute regarding his own growth. He came downstairs, and I was just sitting in our family room, enjoying a cup of coffee and reading my Bible, and he walks into the room to turn on the lights, and he goes, "Whoa, Dad! Who lowered the light switches?" I just started laughing. I said, "Son, no one lowered the light switches. Believe me, I did not take out the switch and move the electric a little bit lower and then patch up the wall and paint it all while you were sleeping. No, son, you're growing taller." And he goes, "Whoa." You know, when you're a kid, growth is so important, isn't it? You know, people ask you all the time, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" You know, you go to theme parks and you measure yourself against that little ruler and think, "Someday when I grow up, I'm going to be able to ride on that roller coaster." And the best part, you know, a kid thinks, "Someday when I grow up, I won't have to listen to mom and dad anymore." You know, when you're a kid, growth is so important. And at some point in your life, growth was the most important thing too. And then you got as tall as you were going to get. Most of us stop growing physically between the ages of 18 and 20. And so we get to how tall we're going to get, and then we just kind of stop caring about it. Well, I think the same thing can be true with another kind of growth, spiritual growth. I bet there's a time in your life where spiritual growth was something that was so important to you, and then you grew enough, and you stopped caring about it. Well, what if God wants you to grow even more starting today? That's the heartbeat behind this message series we're beginning called Grown, and it's all about spiritual growth. Now, before we go any further, it is vital that we acknowledge a game-changing pillar of Christianity, and here it is. You do not have a soul. Wait, what? Isn't that what you say to somebody who's like morally bankrupt? You don't have a soul? Now listen to me. You do not have a soul. You are a soul. What you have is a body. Understand that we are not physical beings with spiritual attributes. We are spiritual beings with physical attributes. This was first taught in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Listen to this. This is Genesis 2:7. "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God is the creator. He created the heavens and the earth, light and dark and life, like plants and animals. And then came the crown jewel of his creation, the human being. He formed the body of the first man, Adam, and then he created the soul. Now understand that before the soul was breathed into Adam's body, that body was just a slab of meat. But what happened when God breathed his life, his soul into this body? It says in verse 7, "And the man became a living being." Understand that a person is not a person because of their body. A person is a person because of their soul in their body. Every single person who's ever walked the face of the earth has a dual nature, both a physical nature and a spiritual nature, a body and a soul. The problem is that one of these two things is defective. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." What Paul was saying is that our physical selves, our bodies, have a lifespan. As mentioned earlier, we stop physically growing, and in fact, the opposite starts happening. Our bodies start breaking down. This is an all too painful reality for so many of you. Maybe like me, your eyesight is beginning to worsen, or maybe your bones are beginning to weaken, or your joints are beginning to ache. Even healthy bodies break down. We see this happen with professional athletes all the time. But the spiritual life, the soul, is not subject to such limitations. As encouraged by the Apostle Paul, our souls can be renewed. Our souls can actually be strengthened even while our bodies are weakening. Our souls can grow. That's what spiritual growth is. And that's what we're leaning into over the course of these next 5 weeks. And God grows our souls in a variety of ways. And here's some of those ways that we're going to be looking at. Next week, we're going to talk about how God grows us through personal obedience, how when we make wise choices, it affects our spiritual growth. Then we're going to look at how God uses providential relationships to grow our souls, how he brings godly people in our lives to help us mature spiritually. We'll also look at how he grows us through pivotal circumstances, how God grows us through change. And then we're going to wrap up the series by talking about practical disciplines, and we're going to give you some tools to help foster spiritual growth. But for today, our point of emphasis is going to be on purposeful impact, how living out our God-given purpose can grow our souls. So, if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to the New Testament Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And while you're turning there, here's a little bit of context. By this point in time, Jesus is a full-blown celebrity. Everywhere he goes, he's the talk of the town. People love him, people hate him, and everybody wants something from him. And wherever he went, crowds followed. And where we find things in Mark chapter 8, the crowd has swelled, and Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man, Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now understand this, that back then thousands and thousands of Jews were ready to topple Rome for occupying their territory and oppressing them with their ways. They were so ready to get rid of Rome. What they lacked was a leader, somebody who could unite them, somebody who can lead them to victory. Enter Jesus, the perfect candidate. He was a once-in-a-lifetime charismatic leader. He was fearless and smart and led with conviction. Jesus was the perfect person to lead this insurrection against Rome. He was just really bad at marketing himself. So Peter had to pull Jesus aside and set him straight. And Jesus, what are you doing? Look at these crowds. You're talking about death and rejection and suffering. Listen, talk like this is going to lose followers. And quite frankly, it's making the other disciples uncomfortable too. Bold move by Peter, rebuking Jesus. How do you think Jesus responded to that? Let's continue to read verse 33. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Ouch. Very strong words that Jesus used against Peter. He literally called him Satan, the enemy of God. He said, "Peter, you are only thinking about your self-interests. You're only thinking about what the people want, what you want. You have no idea what God is trying to do." And Jesus equated Peter's prioritization of self with Satan. And then he leveraged this opportunity where all eyes were wide open and did this. Verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Very interesting statement from Jesus. Whoever loses their life will save it. Now, whenever Jesus spoke, his words often had multiple meanings. And there's two ways to understand what Jesus was saying. The first is in a literal sense. Whoever loses their life for me. Jesus was teaching that it is possible that following Jesus could literally cost you your life. Now, the reality is that most of us will likely never face the consequence of death as a result of following Jesus. But this is a reality all over our globe. I was reading even just this past week that in Nigeria, a terrorist group kidnapped 5 men and on their media channel posted the execution of 5 Christians who refused to renounce their faith in Christ. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the globe who are dying for Jesus. People in Africa and people in Asia and in the Middle East. But the reality is that you and I will most likely never face that kind of consequence. So what's the second way we can look at this? What else did Jesus mean by this? Well, there's a figurative way to look at what he means by losing your life. It means by putting Jesus at the center, by lifting him up, by getting ourselves out of the way. And in the process, you will find joy, inner peace, and fulfillment. Isn't it amazing that thousands of years ago, Jesus answered a question that people are still asking today? How do I find life? Or another way to say it is, what is the purpose of life? I believe that according to scriptures, there is a sentence that we could put together to understand why you and I are here, what our purpose is. Lean into this. This is very important. The purpose of life is to glorify God while enjoying our God. Can we all say that out loud together? Come on, all the campuses. The purpose of life is to glorify God while enjoying our God. What does this mean? Let's break it down. Glorify God. This simply means to worship him, to lift him up, to exalt his name, to say, God, you are above it all. You are good and you do good things. You are the creator. You are the redeemer. I love how the apostle Paul says it in Colossians 1, verse 16. He says, for in him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You and I were not just created by Jesus, which is already a miracle, but we were created for Jesus. We were created to worship him, and even now he's holding the entire universe together and our very lives. Wow, Jesus, I worship you. That's what it means to glorify God while enjoying him forever, while enjoying our God. What does it mean to enjoy our God? Well, you know, a lot of people believe that following Jesus is both a bore and a chore. I don't want to follow Jesus. There's too many rules. I want to be happy. I want to do what I want, when I want, with whomever I want. Well, if that was the secret to happiness, most of the world would be unceasingly happy, because that's how most of the world lives. But from my limited perspective, looking around, it doesn't seem like most of the world is happy. Now you see, a relationship with Jesus actually brings joy. Jesus himself said this in John 10:10. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, when you place your faith in Jesus, you receive peace, that your forgiveness, your sins have been forgiven, that your future has been secured, that you're free from the chains of sin to be able to experience life. Jesus doesn't want us just dragging on, just surviving. I hate my job. I hate my family. I hate my season of life. No, he wants us to experience life to the full, to actually enjoy our relationship with him. And when we do the things that God wants us to do, it actually brings joy. This is what Peter missed when he decided to pull Jesus to the side and have this little confrontation. And what Peter got wrong then is the same thing so many of us get wrong today. He and we believe that life is about me. Peter was looking about how Jesus can bless him in his own purposes instead of what God wanted to do in his life. This is how our culture lives even today. You've seen it. You've heard it. The prevailing belief in our culture right now is that the highest level of growth we can attain is learning how to be our most authentic self. I've got to be the best version of me. I can't love someone else until I first learn to love me. All of life is one big pursuit of discovering who I am. This is why we love those personality tests like the Enneagram, or those online tests like which Friends character are you, or which Fresh Prince character are you, or depending on your age, you know, which Gilligan's Island character are you, or Fat Albert, or SpongeBob. And listen, there's nothing wrong with those tests. They're fun. And it's fun to have a better understanding of our personality and our giftings. Jesus taught that the secret to finding life is by losing it, not by trying to save our own life and pursue ourselves, but by bringing our lives empty-handed to Jesus and saying, do with it what you like. This is such a countercultural way to live because it runs against our own instinct and against who we think we are, our very identities. How many of you have ever gone through an identity crisis? Okay. Most of us have gone through an identity crisis in our lives, and it usually hits at the worst possible time, middle school. Right? There's this weird thing that happens in the life of a middle schooler. One day, you walk out of the house with ratty hair and a giant stain on your shirt, and you don't think twice about it. And then all of a sudden, something clicks inside, and now you can't stop staring at yourself, and you're checking yourself out in the mirror 72 times a day. And suddenly you start thinking, who am I? I remember when I was in middle school, having those same thoughts of trying to understand my identity and thinking, you know, I need a thing. And I had this friend named Bill who was a heavy metal guy. He had cool long hair and he knew a lot about bands and albums and guitars. So I decided I'm gonna be a heavy metal guy too. So I decided I was gonna try to start growing out my hair, and I began listening to this cassette tape of a terrible band called Poison. Even to this day, when I hear the song, Every Rose Has Its Thorn, I vomit a little bit in my own mouth. I hated heavy metal. And not only that, but my attempt to grow long hair just came out as a mullet. The whole heavy metal thing was just not working for me. So I decided, you know, I'm gonna be a hip hop guy. So I started dressing in baggy clothes and listening to Public Enemy. And the kids at my school started laughing like, who's this skinny white boy trying to act gangsta? And so that didn't work out for me either. And then as I was getting older, I started attending church more. So I started wearing Christian t-shirts. I thought that was my identity, right? And the trend back then was the Christian t-shirt company would take like a popular brand and reword it into a slogan. So it looked like I had a t-shirt that had the Budweiser logo, but upon closer inspection, it said, Bud, wise up. This blood's for you. And it had a picture of Jesus on it. And you laugh, but you had the same shirt. So don't even try to judge me. And then as I eventually graduated, I went to college and I had to pick a major and thought, well, who do I want to be? I know, I want to be a TV sports anchor. And so my life then became all about wrapping my identity in TV news personalities. And after I graduated from college and couldn't find a job, I was in another identity crisis. I was in a tailspin. Who am I? And I was stuck in this maddening cycle where I wanted to find out who I was, but at the same time, it was exhausting. And more I pursued myself, the more and more unfulfilled I became. And then I had a friend who challenged me. I remember this person said, you ought to serve at our church. This person was a volunteer youth leader and said, we could use some more leaders. You ought to come serve with me. And I'll never forget what they said to me. They said, you have to start thinking about someone other than yourself. And I gotta tell you, that statement landed on me hard. And so I decided to start becoming a volunteer youth leader. And I gotta tell you, almost immediately, my life began to change. Suddenly, I had to start getting to church a little bit earlier, and a little more consistently. And I had to be a little more in prayer and a little more in my Bible, because now I got people depending on me. And I got to tell you, serving in that little church reignited my love for the church. It helped me to see that I can contribute in meaningful, eternal ways in somebody else's life. And in the process of no longer just looking at myself, but starting to give my life away, God started to bring clarity to the direction He wanted to bring me. And He actually called me to be, of all things, a pastor. See, my problem was that I was trying to save my own life. I was trying to spend my life on me. And Jesus was saying, no, spend your one and only life on something that matters for eternity. And as I started serving, I started growing. And I started enjoying my relationship with Jesus in the process. When I got myself off the throne and started to glorify God and started to do what He wanted me to do, it actually brought joy. I was living out my God-given purpose. You know, this past week we were talking with the campus pastors about this, and one of our campus pastors came up with a great illustration. I want to show it to you right now. Okay, this is my phone. Now, in case you're wondering, this is an iPhone 12 with 5G capability, and I want to show you exactly what it does. This is incredible. You see, what it does is you put your paper down, and then you put your phone on top of the paper, and then your papers don't blow away. Check this out. I got a fan right here to show you. Watch this. Look at that. Papers don't go anywhere. If I take it away, the papers go all over the place, right? But if I have the phone here, they don't go anywhere. Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad that I made this investment, that I have this very expensive paperweight. Now, wouldn't it be sad if I actually believed that? Now, if it was an Android phone, it's understandable. But this is an iPhone, right? Wouldn't it be so sad if I actually believed that's all my phone was good for? But let me tell you something right now. That smartphone you have in your pocket has more technology in it than the Apollo 11, the space shuttle that landed Neil Armstrong on the moon. This little phone, in addition to making phone calls, can also allow you to video conference with your grandchildren. You could send messages, and you could watch movies, and take notes, and access a GPS, and control the devices of your home, and get to endless volumes of information. This little phone is incredible. And wouldn't it be sad if all you used it was for a paperweight? And yet, this is how so many of us live. We declare to the world, this is who I am. I have found my purpose, and my purpose is to do whatever it is that makes me happy. And it's like Jesus is saying, what are you doing? I have so much more for you if you would just put your life in my hands. I love how the Apostle Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Jesus can do so much more with your life. Don't settle for just being a paperweight. Don't settle on just who you think you are or what you think your purpose is. Bring it to the Lord empty-handed and say, God, I give you my life. Do with it what you want. I want to live for your purpose. This is why Jesus said, anyone who tries to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And then right after that, He said this, verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Remember, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. What you have is a body. Life is not just meant to be spent on the physical, on the here and now, on the temporal. We have a dual nature, both physical and spiritual. And if you only live for the physical, for the here and now, you'll squeeze as much as you get out of this world. But Jesus warned you'll lose your soul in the process. The spiritual aspect of who you are. Instead, He wants us to live for His purpose, to glorify God while enjoying our God. And the great news is this purpose is eternal. You see, you can glorify God both in this life and in the life to come. Those who place their faith in Jesus can worship Jesus today and also worship Jesus in heaven. Those who place their faith in Jesus can enjoy their relationship with God today and enjoy their relationship with God for the rest of eternity. God wants us to live for something that has purposeful impact, something that matters to Him, something eternal. And this was never more on display than the night before Jesus was arrested and eventually handed over to the Romans to be crucified. Jesus was alone in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing, praying, falling to his knees, beating the ground, and begging God the Father to provide an alternative to being crucified. This is what it says in Luke 22:42. Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take away this cup of wrath." Jesus, is there another way to pay for the sins of the world that does not include dying on a cross? And yet, after agonizing in these prayers, Jesus said these words, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." This is what Jesus meant when he said, deny yourselves and lose your life to save it. Can you imagine if Jesus decided to live for himself? If he said, "God, look, I know you want me to pay for the sins of humanity, but listen, I don't want to be crucified. Those Romans have perfected torture. They know how to get pain out of every inch of your body. So listen, I know this is what you want me to do, but for this season, I just need to work on me. I need to focus on me a little bit, and then we'll revisit your plans for me." Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? Instead, Jesus said, "Not what I want, God, but what you want." And it was no picnic going to the cross, but he did it for the long-term joy of seeing all of us, all who place their faith in Jesus, get saved from their sins. Jesus laid down his life and took the death penalty that was hanging over all of us due to our sin. And all who place their faith in him would receive pardon because he received our punishment. This Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. Do you know him? Have you ever prayed to Jesus and said, "Today, I lay down my plans. I lay down my purposes. I lay down my pursuits. I get myself out of the way, and I'm coming to you with open hands, Jesus, and I'm saying, I give you my life. Do with it what you want, your purposes for me." If you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, today is your day. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word NEXT to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.